All right.
Okay.
All right. So, this one's working. This one. No problem.
There was no waste of time then.
No waste of time, no. So, sometimes it does happen for people engaged in some reflection may experience and feel, gosh, I've wasted some of my life or some years or some time of my life there. Do you have that thought very often?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
So, past is past. What would it be to have a sense from today that as much as possible to live a full life and some sense of not wasting a day? What would contribute or support living life without wasting a day of it?
What would support it?
What would encourage that for you?
Well, this was my motivation to come here.
Oh, nice to hear.
I'm serious.
No, I'm serious. I'm seriously mean it when I say nice to you as well. All right. So one aspect, it is a good reminder. It is a place of quiet power, of being really present. And many will say here, gosh, the day is so full. It's a really full experience in which we are giving maximum attention and mindfulness to every single thing that we do. We're going to make this day such a full day. And there's something strong and beautiful about it. We're not, hopefully, not drifting. We are sitting, conscious human beings. We are walking, standing, reclining, eating, and meeting. So, and to find ways to have that in the day-to-day life.
Are you sure that it's enough?
No, of course not. So, but it's a contribution.
Being mindful in the way, you know, the evil world is tzumet lev.
Putting your heart.
Yeah, it has a heart in
yes,
it.
Yes, yeah, yes, yes.
So this is great and this is wonderful, but, and on the other hand, we have the mind saying...
Who?
The mind.
The mind.
Yes, the mind saying... There are also other ways of valuing one's life. And I would be cool and say, the minute you value your life on one scale, so there's another scale.
Yes.
The scale we don't like.
Yes.
We preach against.
All right. I think I'm following there. Could it be that though we engage here, to be conscious, mindful human beings, connected and all of that, that the one thing that's really important for a human being to, shall we say, to know and look at what is, to look at the eternal. Could a human being find completion and fulfillment just by having a rich, full every day? I doubt it.
I came with my question, with my inquiry.
Yes.
Because I think that being old and getting old is a different situation.
Yes.
You know, even if someone passes by, dies after a certain age, people say, well, at least he had life. Mm. Which one wouldn't say if someone dies in his 20s or 30s or whatever. Mm. So maybe that's a concept. Maybe that's another concept.
Yes, all right. But, sorry, the looking at life in the whole is, you know, the good range of people, probably in their 20s, 30s, 40s, most people there. It can be, in our experience, that a person can live a long time, but waste a lot, and a person can live a short period and it's extraordinary, insightful, liberating and awakening.
And wasted?
No. Not if it's liberated. That's no waste. Not if one knows the truth.
It happened and it ended and it doesn't exist anymore.
then it's not an understanding that I would know about. So there is extraordinary thing where women and men on this earth have had such profound realizations, which has dissolved and finished all concerns and worries and anxieties about getting old. There isn't a view I've wasted my life, because they've realized there's a realization there of something far bigger than our small, modest journey on the earth. And that's the best. And the days by days of the aging phenomena, we take care and we look after it, but doesn't have the impact for anxiety, even when sick.
I'm a bit rude.
Eh?
I'm a bit rude.
Be as rude as you like.
This is a beautiful concept, but it's on people's heart and mind.
Yes.
I'm trying to understand whether you say there isn't such a thing as getting old, as being old. This is another part of life. Is everything the same? Or you do say, you know, looking at that part of life, there is something unique to say about it, about that period in life.
Can you speak
to the microphone? Yeah. אני אומר, מי ששומע, שומע, מי שלא שומע בגלל הגיל הזה, לא משנה.
Put it in a slightly different language here. Here's this movement between the two poles of existence, which we call birth and death. Our life is a kind of journey through the field of time, and part of that journey at the physical level is including the aging process. We have an interest in the aging process. We see the changes in each other as a result of that, and that's in the whole process and the evolution of life. However, there is a relationship to this aging process. That relationship to the aging process can be one which there is a clarity day by day, and very mindful of the aging process, of the changes there, which does not have the power to trigger worry and anxiety about the future. Even if it didn't, and the human being has a genuine sense of harmony with the body, without worry and fear about the future, which is called aging, sickness, pain, or death, really, for the most part, really doesn't have that. It still is not the full richness of what can be realized. And the full richness of what can be realized is deathless, painless, ageless. And this is the tremendous undertaking of exploration.
I did not understand what you just said.
All right, I'll repeat. The attention, in this case this evening with you and I, is primarily going to the body. We've referred to the aging process, and we've referred to our relationship to it, and a little bit about our view of our life as we get older in the aging world. And I said, we might have a rather clear, calm relationship with getting old. The numbers and the sensations and the appearance don't worry us. We just live life getting old. To repeat, this calm and clarity with the aging process, it is valuable, but it's in the relative field of change. Can we discover that which is not relative? It is ultimate. That which is ultimate is different from what is relative. The relative is aging. The ultimate is ageless. The relative is in time. The ultimate is timeless. The ultimate is free from anxiety and worry, and it gets landed up there. So I say, taking an interest of something which is not obvious to us is worth exploring. And this is called deathless, this discovery. And the saints and the sages and the wise, with remarkable commitment in the variety of languages, have spoken of that which transcends the ordinary. It goes beyond the ordinary thinking. Christopher didn't dream it up, nor did they. Enough?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for coming. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll have a quiet moment, and then I'll just give a little reflection. Thank you to the two people who came up to speak, and with the some common factors, in fact, between the two dialogues, communications. First one, understandably and humanly enough, is our engagement with the world, in which some reflections were given about the relationships of the past to the future. What we are seeing, and the person mirrored this, which I also hear a great deal as well, that we are moving in a way, in the society or in the culture, from just me and my life that there has been through the circumstances on this earth. Some change is going on. It's about us and this world. And there are more and more conversations, discourses, concerns, actions, fears and worries. Everything is increasing as we look at the condition of this planet and all that is meant by it. For those who are engaged, I haven't got in mind here just like being on demonstrations on the street. I would say that's 5% of an activist, what an activist does. It is people who are agents for change, who are engaging in giving support to others, as many of you are doing here, for their welfare, for their insight, for their understanding, for their health, peace of mind, and also giving support to a whole variety of organizations which are valuable, loving and caring, social, political, for humans, for animal rights, for environment. There's plenty which is going on. But if a person, to repeat, is engaged in doing, she, he, we will need some renewal. One cannot sustain doing. There will be burnout. And some wonderful and precious people have stopped engagement because they're tired, they're exhausted, they feel that there's not doing any good, they're not getting anywhere, there is despair, and that as the person said, it is paralyzing. And she's exactly right. It paralyzes. It doesn't paralyze because the world has its... there are major issues in our world. That does not have the power. We have transferred power to it. It's in the wisdom and the understanding of the being that's more powerful than the events. And that does mean, as the question, one of many questions, but one of those important ones, what is the relationship between doing, not for consumerism, not to gain, but the doing to give, which is the most noble form of doing. What is the doing where we can be clear when we need some space, we need a break, we can say no, we can find renewal, deep renewal, to renew the energy, the vitality and the interest, and then we can engage again. As one person said to me today, I think it was today or yesterday, not an unusual story, the person said to me, if I remember approximately, the person said, oh, my mother is probably around your age, I mean, in the 70s, and with the vote, which of course taking place here on the 17th of September, and a very, very common voice is, I can't remember the exact words, but, well, I'm old and it's time for a quiet life, like that. Yeah. And people have the right to say that. They have the right to have the very, very, very quiet life in that way. But there are some of us, including Ms. Waller, there, who feel that the outpourings of the energy need the renewal. And getting that balance right is precious. Speaking from experience here, so far, could change tomorrow, not, you know, a romantic. So far, if I may say, only to share with you, the level of energy in the daily life has not changed since at all. I had no more nor less when I was in my teens nor in my 20s. I have not experienced any single drop in energy. And part of the reason for that, it's not because of good genes, mum's genes and dad's, well, I didn't know my father, so it's good enough, etc. Little to do with it. But I do say the practice of mindfulness, the practice of observation, the practice of staying in touch with the being, and even here, with all the good, lovely blessings here, it is a day of doing and being. Doing is the engagement with you, such as right now, and much, much more. But my goodness me, Christopher takes the time just to be back in touch with the being, just to be quiet in the room, just to go for the evening walk and just to do my exercise in the room, just have the quiet times. So there's a real sense through the day while being here and all the fullness of it that the being and doing is in flow together. It's easy if you love your solitude. So my one-liner for those of you in the Buddhist world, Buddhists will say, I'll say too, I go for refuge in awakening. I go for a refuge, that means in the teachings which will give support to me waking up. I go for refuge to the Sangha, men and women deeply committed to waking up. And sometimes I say quite regularly, I have a fourth refuge. I take refuge from the Sangha. Sometimes, just to be out of sight of you all is bliss, frankly. And then out of that can come some renewal and some the silence and the stillnesses and the quietude and then the energy. If we get this flow right, it can stay with us. But it's a real practice. This harmony of doing and being. And finally, on this, sometimes, and I think it's one of a great sadness, that people, particularly in the Buddhist yogi world, monks, nuns and all, can get the impression it is only about being. Life is just about being, being still, being calm, and just about there. Sitting on the meditation cushion is the only way to liberation. The ideology of the being. It's a tragic misunderstanding of what the teachings are about. Action is as important as meditation. Doing is as important as being. And let's explore that really, really fully, and perhaps within and through all of that, we'll know clearly and obviously what the ageless is, what the timeless is, what the deathless is. That which is here today was yesterday, and the day before, and the day before, and the day before, and will be. There's an unshakable realization to be discovered, which is not affected by the changes that go on, including the aging process. We can discover. Keep exploring. Enough said. Goodness. Thank you. All right. So the time now, time is 8:40. And these are only numbers, you know, like bodies, just numbers. The authentic reality is timeless. But so 8:40 is the number. If the bell ringer would kindly ring another number, which is at 9 o'clock, so 20 minutes to stretch the legs and walking. And then we'll have a sitting at another number, which is called 905. And then another number will pop up, and Christopher, one of the teachers, will give at 9:30. Okay, your days are numbered. Thank you.